Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all those listeners. Thank you so much for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Through your financial and prayerful contributions, you've kept us on the air for over 40 years, and we can't thank you enough. It's only because of what you do that we're able to bring you programming like this, so much needed, especially in these times. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. until approximately 6 p.m. We had our third Tuesday Holy Hour and Mass last night, which was awesome despite the weather. It got a little chilly and then the rain came. I still had a decent turnout. Our gathering will be in December, will be December 20th. And this is open to anybody and everybody. I don't think there's anybody today that doesn't know somebody that struggles with addiction. Either they're in recovery, have passed, or need to get into recovery. It just affects everybody. So all are more than welcome. And again, that third Tuesday in December will be right before Christmas, December the 20th. Also, I know Kathleen's got some of the greatest prayer warriors on the planet, and I just learned within the last half hour or so that my sister Barbara is back in the hospital. We had a wedding on Saturday. My nephew got married, and I've learned over the last couple of days that a number of people contracted COVID, including my sister, who already has a number of autoimmune issues. So she went to the hospital this morning. So if you could remember my sister Barbara in your prayers, I would certainly appreciate it. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get started with prayer.
I was thinking, okay, Barbara, so many that are needing our prayers. That was a wonderful send-off for Martin McLaughlin yesterday at our Mass. And we had the one coming up for Sam. You know, I think about my sister Peggy and even Pat, our technician there, for his sister Kellyanne. But all those who need prayers, we'll just remember them as we say our prayers now, Ken.
Very good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, Matt being one of the patrons, the primary patron of this show. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Mark G., St. Maximine Colby.
Pray for us.
St. Margaret of Scotland and St. Gertrude.
Pray for us.
St. Francis Xavier Cabrini.
Pray for us.
Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Rayfield.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, I was just going to say, how about if we do a Hail Mary for all those that we just mentioned, for our listeners. If you just want to think of somebody or multiple people that are in need of prayer, and we'll offer a Hail Mary. for all of them.
We call that kind of the golden Hail Mary, one Hail Mary that said from the depths of our hearts.
Amen.
It's called the golden Hail Mary.
Very good.
The golden Hail Mary.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Amen. Mother of us all,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 84-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. And when we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment where we want you to witness what God has done in your life, and you know, in the last week or two, something that you know, others would think was a coincidence, but you know that it was God acting in your life. And again, we'll have that segment when we come back from the break. We are currently in the 33rd week in Ordinary Time, quickly approaching the end of the liturgical year. We'll have the final Sunday of the liturgical year this coming Sunday. Weekdays next week will be in the 34th week of Ordinary Time, and then Sunday after Thanksgiving we're right back to the beginning of the new year with the first Sunday in Advent. Yeah, so
new year already.
Yep. The saints in the calendar this week on Sunday the 13th, Mother Cabrini got bumped out because it was a Sunday. Yesterday the 15th, Saint Albert the Great, our friends over there in Huntington Valley. He was a bishop and doctor. Today we have two female saints, St. Margaret of Scotland and St. Gertrude the Great. And then tomorrow the 17th, St. Elizabeth of Hungary. And Friday the 18th, the dedication of the basilicas of Saints Peter and Paul, apostles, and also St. Rose Philippine Duchesne. And as I already mentioned, on Sunday we'll be celebrating the feast of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. So, we will begin with the saints of the day, Margaret of Scotland, and it has Gertrude, but one of the sources I wrote said Gertrude the Great, and the only female known as the Great. But we'll kick it off here with St. Margaret of Scotland. She was born in 1045 and would die on November the 16th in the year 1093. She actually wasn't Scottish. She was born of... she was Princess Agatha of Hungary, and then an English prince by name of Edward Atheling. And she would spend time in court while in her youth with the English king, Edward the Confessor, but the family fled when William the Conqueror showed up, and they end up being shipwrecked off the coast of Scotland. I guess they get rescued, and she would come to know King Malcolm, and eventually they would get married in the year 1070. Margaret would have been 25 years old. Malcolm was a little rough around the edges, and like that old saying goes, behind every good man there's an even better woman, and I think that was definitely the case here with Malcolm. Margaret was able to soften his temper, maybe drum some manners into him, and it really helped him become a virtuous king. One of the things that he did in all of his wisdom is he left all the domestic affairs to her and would consult with her on state matters. She promoted the arts and education in Scotland, and also for religious reform, would encourage synods, and was there when they would talk about religious abuses that were common among priests and lay people, like simony, usury, and incestuous marriages. And she and her husband also founded several churches. She was not only a queen, but a mother. And father, as you mentioned this morning, she had eight kids, six sons and two daughters. So yes, mothers and fathers, especially those of eight kids, can become saints. And Margaret would make sure that they got their religious instruction as well as their other studies. She was detached from the world and always kept time for her devotions. We've talked about, you know, this in the past. We all have our calendars. Now that we got smartphones with calendars on them, we're always putting dates and times in there and the events that we have in our life. But Margaret always made sure that she carved out time for her devotions and to read Scripture. She and Malcolm, they would have two Lents, one before Easter, one before Christmas. And during those Lents, Margaret would always arise for midnight Mass. Interestingly enough, and one of the things we see with a lot of our saints is their what they would do for the poor. And on the way home from going to Mass, she would wash the feet of six poor people and give them alms. Seemed to always be surrounded by beggars in public, but would never refuse them. And she never sat down to eat without first feeding 9 orphans and 24 adults. Now, where she came up with 9 and 24, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, in the year 1093, another king made a surprise attack on their castle. Malcolm and his oldest son, Edward, were killed. And Margaret, who was already sick and on her deathbed at the time, would die 4 days after her husband. So that's St. Margaret of Scotland. Not Scottish, but a saint of Scotland. Father?
Yeah. You know, St. Margaret, St. Gertrude, tomorrow, Elizabeth of Hungary. You know, saints are really mystics. It's this love, Ken, that really drives them. They have this experience of God's love. And they see Jesus everywhere. Like, it's like that St. Patrick, you know, Christ above me, beneath me, up my left, on my right. You know, they're just infused with this divine presence everywhere with God. And I was thinking the otter God for her, Margaret of Scotland, was the shipwreck. You know, if it wasn't for the shipwreck, you know, is she going to wind up in Scotland and, you know, meet the king there, Malcolm? And here they have eight kids, 8 Beatitudes. And here's the thing, Ken. She has 8 children. And she's a saint. You know, a lot of people sometimes would say, well, you know, I wish I weren't married with all these kids. I could be a saint like, you know, somebody lives in the convent or something. I mean, here's a married woman with 8 children, and she becomes a saint, you know, and this love affair with God. And, you know, her private life was most austere. I don't think we do a whole lot of penance today, but, I mean, that's already presupposed that we're living the gospel, the asceticism. You know, the training, it's what we do with grace. When we do our part, the Lord comes, boy, and does he do his part. And then comes the mysticism. But, you know, the asceticism is already presupposed that, you know, that we're really trying to be virtuous, that we're really being detached, denying ourselves, purifying ourselves with the sacraments, with the graces. So asceticism is something we do with grace. But when that mysticism starts, it's what grace is doing with us. And her private life was most austere. She ate sparingly, and she, you know, very little sleep. And like you said, you already said that she kept 2 Lents, Advent and also Christmas. And I was thinking, too, I was just talking to Sister Bridget over there in Sacred Heart, and we were talking about Advent. And I was thinking about, you know, all the people that die around us, Ken, every week, you know, people that are, you know, really trying to get their lives together, and they do so well with sobriety and, you know, really hanging in there. And all of a sudden, here comes the Lord for them. They pick up or whatever, because it is a disease. But it made me think about when I was with the Little Sisters of the Poor there in West Philly. I remember talking to some of the residents, and I said, you know, Advent's coming next week. And one of the residents said, Father, every day is Advent here. Because it was almost all the time that's, you know, it was a nursing home that the Lord was coming for these souls of his. And you mentioned at the end that he came. But, you know, it's like being ready, you know, not just the 2 seasons, but saints were always ready, always prepared. They were, you know, hearing his heartbeat within them. I mean, they were that close to the presence of God. And, you know, the king and queen. Imagine a king and queen. Imagine politicians doing this, Ken, or the president of the United States. They, you know, this king and queen entertained 300 poor persons, serving them on their knees with dishes similar to those provided for their own table. I mean, they saw Jesus in the poor and Malcolm. They were ready. They were ready for the coming of Christ. And even when her husband was killed along with her son, that, you know, when the son, one of the sons came back and she asked about her husband, how her husband was, and the son didn't want to say that he was killed, or her son, because she was dying herself. But this is what, like Margaret, she already knew that something, when her son Edward arrived back, she was afraid to tell the news, but she exclaimed, "I know how it is." Then raising her hands towards heaven, she said, "I thank God Almighty that in sending me so great an affliction," referring to the deaths of her son and her husband, "in the last hour of my life, that would purify me from my sins, as I hope by the mercy." And then soon afterwards, she repeated the words, "O Lord Jesus Christ, who by your death has given life to the world, deliver me from all evil." And then she breathed her last 4 days later, after her husband would die. But, you know, we admire the saints, but we're really called to imitate them. You know, when we're in the rooms, Ken, and 12-step programs, our Calyx Society, it's faith sharing. We tell our stories. We love hearing our stories because we relate to the stories. And here on our program, we talk about the stories, the lives of the saints. They touch our hearts. In every saint, we can find something that inspires us. But we're not just called to admire them, but to really imitate them, because they imitated Jesus. And that's what we're called to do. But, she loved the gospel. You know, she would do that prayer and fasting, reading her gospel, her books, you know, of course, at that time, they were hard to come by. It fell in the river, and yet they weren't even, you know, just a little watermark that she was able to preserve her gospel. But they married the Word. They married the Word of God. And the Word is alive. It's not something written at that time, 1,000 years ago. It's something that's written for you and me now. And we put ourselves there, right in the Word of God. We put ourselves in those gospel scenes, that we're not spectators, we're participators. And the Lord speaks to each and every one of our hearts. And he touches us and inflames us with his love so that we can reach out and love one another. But yes, Margaret of Scotland. Today's my sister Peggy's birthday, too. And
uh-huh.
Her name's Peggy Margaret.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, Peggy, happy birthday to you. I won't tell them how old you are, but I know you're 65, but I won't tell anybody else. I'll keep that a secret. God bless you, Peggy. Anyway, St. Margaret, Ken, may she be praying for us from her place in heaven. And her 8 children, 8 Beatitudes, may they all be with her, praying for us as well.
Amen. And you were talking about the scripture being dynamic, and we talked a lot about that on Monday. You know, a number of people, when we had our contemplative prayer session and read the gospel from Monday a couple of times, and how different things stood out to people, that they, even though they had heard the gospel of story of Bartimaeus a number of times, you know, saw something new or different in the reading this time. And I think it's, a lot of times it's because our circumstances change, or our life experience changes, or situations that we're currently facing change. And, you know, you read the scripture and, you know, something else jumps out at you, maybe, that you hadn't seen before. And it could, you know, it could be a line that you glossed over before, and now all of a sudden it makes more sense than, you know, the entirety of the gospel. And so it can definitely go along with the idea that, you know, this is that it's dynamic, that that was written, it may have been written a couple thousand years ago, but was definitely written for each and every one of us today, if we just look hard enough.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Bartimaeus. That was a really great contemplative prayer time, you know, and we were saying that, put yourself in the scene, and we all saw ourselves, you know, as blind Bartimaeus, you know, because we all have that spiritual blindness. And relating that to Margaret of Scotland, we all have spiritual blindness, or we have our blind spots, and there's always those obstacles. But that story with Bartimaeus, you know, where he hears Jesus is coming down the road, and he says, "Who's that?" "Jesus, you know, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And they try to keep him quiet. And then he shouts out the louder. And that Greek word for shouting out louder was he screams. And Jesus hears it, and he stops his teaching. And, you know, because of human need. It was a time to stop our talking and go to help our brothers and sisters. And Jesus says, bring them to me, like a shot, you know, right to him. He throws his outer cloak off and right to Jesus. And then he says, Jesus says, looks at him, says, what do you want me to do for you? And, you know, everybody knows he's blind, you know, he doesn't want a hoagie, you know. I want to see. And Jesus says, well, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. I love that word saved, because some translations are your faith has healed you, but saved us, you know, that communion with God. And then blind Bartimaeus receives his sight, and he follows Jesus up the road. It's like you take off the old man, the old cloak that he threw away, and he follows Jesus up the road. And the road is leading to Calvary, you know, to the Paschal mystery, which is past Calvary, to the resurrection, to the, you know, that experience of being with the risen Christ and having those Christophanies, the experiences of the risen Christ. But yet, you know, we all have obstacles. The saints had their obstacles, but the Lord hears the cry of the poor, and we're called to follow him. And he's always with us, always, every step, every heartbeat, every breath along the way. And the mystics knew that. They had that great experience of his presence, and they were always following him up the road, because we're all on the way, Ken. We're all on that road, heading for our own Calvary with Jesus, but beyond, you know, to that place in heaven that he went to prepare for you and me and all of us and all of our listeners. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Bartimaeus, because we all got spiritual blind spots and spiritual blindness. Just need to cry out to the Lord. And, you know, what we're saying, too, you mentioned this at the prayer session, Ken. You said that you read this 100 times, and it has new meanings, you know. And I was thinking, you know, as we were reading that and reflecting on it and actually, you know, resting in that, as I was reading it, what really hit me was this. It's like, this is how dynamic it is. The word is alive for us. Bartimaeus, when he was blind, didn't see Jesus. He was blind. Jesus saw him. And sometimes, you know, we're not seeing Jesus, but he sees us. The Immaculate Heart of Mary sisters, the punishments that we forget again and again, sister would turn around right on the board. And she would turn around, catch somebody whisper, and says, okay, 500 times, God sees me, God sees me. I remember going down the paper like 25 times, God, sees me. But that was instilled in my heart. God sees me all the time. He sees us. You know? And that hit me with Bartimaeus, that Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. And then he saw Jesus. And when we have that experience that Jesus is seeing me, I have the experience of seeing him, not so much with my physical eyes, but knowing his presence, experience his presence, you know, seeing him in my heart, heart to heart. That's what deep prayer is. It's heart to heart, deep prayer. My heart with his heart, to have that one heart. But, yeah, the saints, can I tell you, boy, they give us so much hope and desires, and they inspire us, and really, I think of Matt Talbot when he's, you know, a mystic in an inner city like we are here in Grace Ferry, with all the noise around and the helicopters and the sirens and the motorcycles and the gunshots and the barking dogs and the alarms going off. You know, it was something. This is even worse than Matt Talbot Abbott, but it's what Matt Talbot said, a mystic. If I can do it, you can do it by the grace of God, and we're all called to be saints and mystics. If not in this life, that's what purgatory is going to be all about. Because when we're in heaven, it's all revealed. It's all made known. We'll be face to face with the beatific vision. Come what may, we're glory bound, like the saints.
Amen. And that's what our readings at Mass the last week or two have been about. The last four things, of course, death and judgment, heaven and hell. And, you know, do we need to prepare for it? And do we sometimes think it's never going to happen to us? And we don't know the day or the hour. But in the meantime, you know, that Bartimaeus story, what really stood out to me was that after it happened, all the people praised God. They see this man cured of blindness. and they all praise God. And I think about all the people that wander around today and the things that God does in their life. And, you know, they don't, like the 10 lepers, the 9 out of 10, they don't even acknowledge God, let alone praise Him for what they've received. And that's part of our job, especially for the folks that are in recovery and the miracles that we get to witness every day. You know, the fact that, you know, an addict doesn't drink or use drugs for 24 hours is an absolute miracle. And, you know, God doesn't always get the credit, especially in the beginning. But hopefully we they stick around long enough that we can make sure they're aware and they become aware of who it is that actually cured them. That it wasn't, and I shouldn't say cured, but helped them cope. That, you know, it wasn't anything necessarily that they did, that it was it was God that did it. And for that, you know, the first thing out of my mouth every morning, whether I vocalize it or thinking in my head, is to thank God and praise Him for, you know, another day of sobriety the day before and all the gifts that I've received. And when I do that, it just changes your focus on life. You know, everything good comes from Him. And I've been so blessed over these my whole life, but especially the last 30 years, and you know, to be able to do this kind of work and pass it along and really let other people know that, you know, God wants this for everybody. If He wants it for a schlep like me, He wants it for everybody. We just need to, you know, tap into it. You know, give up our egos, give up our wants and desires, and figure it out what it is that God really wants for us. And then try to make it happen. And it's not always easy to discern. But, you know, if God really wants you to do something, you'll figure it out. It took me quite a while to figure it out. And I did. And once I did, you know, my life changed forever. And it's, you know, it's just been a blessing. Despite everything that goes on around me, sisters being sick, people dying, people still, you know, dying from drug overdoses, regardless of how hard we try. But the fact that God is actually using us to bring about the kingdom of God, even if it's only to make people aware that He exists, is just a beautiful thing today.
Yeah, I always say to them in the meetings, Ken, when I meet with ROR, Recovering on Reed, at our, you know, over in the Ark there where we meet for the house meetings, you know, in fact, I said, who's going to be next? You know, and then there is somebody. And then I said again, now, who's going to be next in here? And I have to tell them, I said, if anybody picks up again, you know, it's really like Russian roulette, and they know that. If anybody picks up again, His hand, our Lord's hand, is going to be outstretched. And there's the way to heaven. Take His hand.
Right.
Because whoever believes in that hand, believes in Him, has eternal life. And He'll take care of the rest. Our way to heaven, our ticket to heaven, really is Jesus Christ. You know, He is the way and the truth and the life, and that's His mission, to come and forgive our sins and destroy death and to bestow on us eternal life. And He comes to us, Ken, in word and sacrament. And I'm glad you did bring up that Bartimaeus, and I'm thinking about Margaret of Scotland, how she had the Gospels and how fearful she got when they fell in the river, because they were so rare. I mean, you had to listen to the priest that in a homily, but everybody has Bibles today if you want one, you know, because of the printing press. We all have one. But are we really delving our hearts in this dynamic Word of God that's still teaching us today? I was, again, thinking the story, too, when I was in the Holy Land back in 1988, studying the Scriptures with a group of priests. It was a Kenneth Bailey, and he was a Methodist minister, but a Scripture scholar. And he was giving us a talk on Luke 15 on the prodigal son. And he said this. He said, I've been studying this parable here for 30 years. 30 years. And then he said, I learned this last week. I said, that one parable, he's been a Scripture scholar, been studying it for 30 years, and he's still learning from this one parable. Because it's dynamic. And then I remember what he said, what he learned. He said, what I learned was, this father ran to his son. And it was indignant for anybody to run in those days. But this father ran. And that's what he learned after 30 years. He's still learning things, just like I learned that after, you know, Bartimaeus, since I was a seminarian here, you know, Lord revealing to me that he sees me. He's looking at me in my blindness, even though I don't see him. But, he comes to us in word and sacrament, the word of God. This is my body, the word, and then the sacrament, through his priesthood, that he didn't leave us orphaned. He stayed with us in and through his priesthood so that each and every one of us can have personal encounters with him in the sacrament of reconciliation, there at the Eucharist, to receive him in communion. You know, with St. John Vianney, he said that the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus, because it's through his priest that he comes to each of us in a personal way with a personal encounter. Amazing. When we grasp these truths, our hearts will burn in love for him and for one another, just like the saints burn for God and for their neighbor.
Amen. Well, that brings us to the bottom of the hour. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Before we do, I want to give out the phone numbers one more time, so when we come back, we're going to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. Hopefully, we'll get a couple of calls here. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in his love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. I was going to say what the world needs now, but that's coming up in about 25 minutes. And actually I have the little otter God. You'll remember on Friday I picked my father up at the airport, and we stopped down in Grace Ferry, and I showed him the cathedral of South Philadelphia there at St. Gabriel's and what have you. And somehow it came up that he goes to the gym every morning, and he said that he wished he had done it, started doing it 50 years ago. He started doing it after he had a triple or quadruple bypass surgery a few years back. 87 years old now, and you'll find him in the gym every morning at 6 a.m. But I'm going to be joined at 5 o'clock by Dr. Kevin Yost, and he's written a book, You Are That Temple. and talks about combining our faith and our health, and has recommended workouts and diets and all kinds of stuff in his book. So the 5 o'clock guest should be pretty interesting, especially in light of what my father was saying on Friday. Yeah. But no calls, Father.
Well, they're out there listening.
Yeah.
Maybe we should mention some names, Ken. Sometimes when you say their name, they call. I miss Michael calling.
Yeah, Ralph.
Jolly calling. Oh. Midnight calling. Bob, Boston Bob. Tom Dillon, he's probably listening. You know,
Tom's flat on his back. He sent me a text message not too long ago that, and he's another one in need of prayer. He's got COVID, he and his wife. And
Joe Devaney.
And Tom was feeling better and went out and planted some tulips and was raking up some leaves. And now he says he's flat on his back and bed wiped out again. So
He would have been down here seeing our new chapel floor be laid, Ken?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. We want to thank Tom and a number of other people that made some donations to towards painting and laying a new floor in our chapel. The carpet's up, and the floors were the floors themselves are going to be down done today, and then tomorrow they just got to put some trim around. So I want to thank Tom for coordinating the effort, and again all those that that supported it financially.
You know, I really appreciate it too, Ken, today, because we couldn't really have mass and invite the people in that we usually do. But we took the people in the house here, and then we had the mass here in the private chapel. And it was so close, like I felt so hemmed in with one another, you know. And the real presence of Jesus, it was so vibrant, you know. It was so, I thought he was going to appear. That's how powerful I felt, you know, that. And the reading, holy, holy, holy. So here we are in the midst of holiness, right here at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and, you know, being transcended right into the kingdom. That was really beautiful.
Yeah. Well, he's coming. It's only a matter of time. And speaking of coming, here's Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
All right. It's Broccoli Rob, our friend from Boston. How are you, brother?
Hey, Bob.
We marked you absent last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And it turned out we could have used the snacks.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. You know, with Patrick listening, he'll understand this, Otter God. It's Wednesday night, and I'm eating chicken pot pie in Wildwood. That's the special on Wednesday night down here.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Next time my wife makes
it
up.
Yeah. Affordable. That's what's really funny for the show. $9.95.
There you go.
What restaurant is that?
Huh?
Yeah, we're not a
restaurant.
They got to pay us for the hour to give the name of the restaurant.
Oh, that's right. Well, Patrick knows.
Nah, that's all right. Maybe if we send enough people there, they'll sponsor a show.
There you go.
It's also Father knows because it's hanging on Paul's refrigerator.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You could say it.
Well, it's Owen's Pub.
There you go.
Oh, Owen's, yeah.
So, speaking of your next hour about the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
I was thinking, since I've never owned a vehicle whose name didn't end in the word box, you know, I've always had minimum insurance on my car. My father used to call it my fault insurance. And when something would happen to the car, I couldn't afford to repair it, so that would be the end of it. But isn't it amazing that God made our bodies self-repairing? I mean, just like you said, your father just had the triple bypass.
Yep.
You couldn't do that to a machine, you know?
Right.
I mean, you fall and break your arm, and it fixes itself. That's amazing.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Even for those of us that struggle with addiction, the videos that we watch that show the healing of the brain. Knew, the brain will heal itself up to, 95%, leaves a little bit of damage, but just enough to...
That's really amazing, yeah.
Yeah, that's
incredible. Yeah. I didn't even know that. You just taught me that.
Yeah.
I thought the damage that was done was the damage that was done.
Wow. No, 95%.
Wow.
But the thing is, Bob, it takes about 2 years. And I know back in the early 90s when I first started this path of recovery, they try to tell people, if we get you to 90 days or if we get you to a year, you know, you got a good shot. And then after watching those videos and seeing that it could take up to 2 years before you actually, your body lets you feel good. You know, you release that natural dopamine again, and I, you know, you do something good and you actually feel good. It could take 2 years for that to happen. So it's no wonder, you know, folks after 30 days or 3 months or even 9 months or a year, they're doing everything right. They're doing everything that people are telling them to do. They're staying away from whatever it is that they struggle with. They're going to meetings and they still don't feel good. And it's like, if I'm going to do all this work and feel like this, I'm just going to go back to what I was doing.
Right.
But now I for a long time I didn't understand it. I understand it now.
Right.
Yeah, we
talk about God's time. 2 years is nothing in a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I understand the hesitancy. You do. I'm, you know, with the VA would always give me these medications, you know. And it takes 30 days for the medication to get into your body and 30 days for it to get out of your body. Well, I said, I would quit the medication. I feel fine. I don't need this stuff. I'm fine. 10 days, I'm fine. 15 days, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I was thinking.
All right. Well, very good talking to you, Ken.
Yep.
And you introduced Father McKay as your friend. Has that been certified? Like, is that from your side? You're calling him?
It's only my side. I have. Yeah. Maybe I should have him do the intros from now on and see what he says about me.
Hey, I'll say this. You can have gold ships and silver ships, but no ship's more valuable than friendships.
Amen.
And that's what you are to me, Ken. And you too, Bob.
So,
friend.
Well, thank you. I value you guys' friendship very much. Yep.
Very good.
You're a gift from Harry to me.
Oh, you're right.
Harry brought me over there and gave me to you and you to me.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to go.
All right, Bob. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Hold on a sec,
right,
Bob.
Uh-oh.
No, I was thinking what you, Ken, said. You know, I was thinking of my brother, Anthony, not Harry, but Anthony.
Oh.
And they say 90% will fall within 90 days, when they first go away. And what happens is after the 3 months, you know, you still want that pleasure. And you say, this is not working, you know. And I know where they get pleasure. Well, my brother, Anthony, had 7 months in.
Wow.
And it was still not enough. How many people fall, we know, right after the year mark? It's still not enough. But he has 7 months. And, I really believe how Anthony died was that dopamine you talked about, that the first time you use, you get this ecstasy, this heavenly feeling. But the brain has to do something because it's like riding your car on 12 RPMs, it'll burn out. So the brain shuts down the dopamine factory. So the next time you use, you don't get that same high. So you want to use more, chasing the dragon, as they call it, to try to get that high. So my brother, after 7 months, when he picked up, he got that high originally. And then the brain said, I remember this, you know. And the second time he used, it wasn't enough. You know, and he's trying to get that high again.
Right.
He kept using, although he didn't feel that he was high. But the body, the heart was slowing down. And I really believe a lot of people overdose that way. They die that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I often think of that, Ken, 2 years to heal the brain, 95%. And God lets that other 5% just to trust him.
Yep.
Because we all have crosses in life.
Amen.
You know, it's not a rose garden down here. I mean, yes, we have beautiful experiences of God's presence and joys and happiness and pleasures, but we also have our crosses to bear. And sometimes you get the cross, I can't bear this, and you know, I need pleasure and I know where to get it, instead of really denying ourselves, picking up our cross and following the Lord. But that was really good what you were saying, Ken. The brain will heal itself 95% in 2 years. That's remarkable. So everyone out
there
listening,
that's especially surprising to me. Yeah.
Remember that. You know, it gets better and better and better.
Right.
Yep.
All right, Bob. Thanks for the call, pal. We appreciate it.
All right.
We'll talk soon.
I always learn something new, and I just learned something new tonight, you know.
There you go.
You know, I'd have to tell my wife that my brain is healed, but I don't think she's going to believe me.
No, I don't think so either.
All right. Bye.
A friend. All right, pal. We'll talk to you soon. All right. And we're going to go to another caller. Hello, John.
Hello. How are you, my friend?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's things going? Okay?
Not bad.
Yeah.
Hi, Father Doug. How are you?
Good, John. Midnight. Thanks for calling in.
You talked me up. I heard my name, and who's that midnight? But anyway, last week you had a guy, and he shared, and it brought me right back to my mother and father, and hearing the guy right before. I can't believe how much they've influenced my life. You know, I'm a little bit up in age now, not much, but I'm still a young man, but for about the last month, I've been thinking how blessed I am. Not lucky, Father. I'm blessed. And I was raised by some good people who influenced their faith on me. Mm. And, you know, being over at St. Anthony of Padua. And I won't say making sure that we went to church and did the altar boy thing. But they did. They instilled that in us, you know, and how much of an influence it is today in my life. I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed. And I don't know why. And I've been amazed before. Mm. This is a very good time in my life. Even though there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, health-wise and things like that. But I'm a blessed man. And one of the things that I've learned through God and my higher power, there's always somebody who got it worse than you, and try to be empathetic to that. And it's true. You know, I learned that from my mother and father. And, you know, you learn it in readings, you know. And I'm just amazed at just how much that stuff really influenced. And I tried to do the same with my two daughters. You know what I mean? By example. Not by example. Because that's the only way most people learn, and at least me. But I just wanted to tell you the guy, you know, what's talked about on here, you know, about God and the Bible and all that. I want you to know that it makes me think about a lot of things, you know what I mean? And not bad things, you know. And I appreciate it. I really do, you know, and I really wanted to say happy Thanksgiving, because we have a lot of things to be thankful for. You know what I mean? I can count my bruises all day long, you know? Mm. But I'd rather count my blessings. So.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Yeah. No, thanks, John. You know, I worry sometimes now with, you know, I'm like you, I had parents that made sure that I was an older boy and that I went to Mass on Sunday and what have you, and you know, there's so many kids today that aren't getting that, and when they land in the same jackpot we did, you know, at least we had something to fall back on, and these kids, they're not going to have anything to fall back on, and we're going to have to be there to lift them up, hold them up, and try to be that example. I think we're seeing a lot of that already with these Gen Z kids.
But, yeah. Well, don't sell them all short.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
because I do see a lot of, you know, and when I first came into AA, you know, and everybody was talking the spiritual angle of the AA program, I didn't know where to begin. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I started going back to Mass.
Yep. Yep.
Because that was what I knew.
Right.
You know, and it was more than beneficial to me. You know what I mean? I used to love. When I moved into Center City, I was in Center City for a couple years early on, I think it was 92 and 93. And I would go to dinner on Saturday. I would go to Mass down to St. Anthony's. I'd ride my bicycle down to St. Anthony's, go to Mass. And one of the things was, at the time, there was a time where you didn't see altar boys. You know what I mean? Or altar servers. So I used to serve the Mass, you know. I used to try to serve the Mass.
Mm.
Because I find that if I'm a part of it, I'm going to get a lot more out of it.
That's right.
And I would love it. I would go out to eat dinner by myself, and then I'd hit the 8 o'clock meeting up on 13th Street, you know. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Because I didn't know what else.
That's right.
And it did enhance my AA experience with my higher power. It really did.
Amen.
And I can't say enough for it. I really can't. Yeah. And not just me. Countless, millions of others, you know
That's
what
right.
I mean, have been. And I know because, you know, I see it just like you guys see it, you know.
Amen. That's a great witness, John. I certainly appreciate
it. Always say it.
Yep.
You know. So listen, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks, God.
And I was grateful to hear that the chapel got some work done and all that. It's a beautiful thing when people get together.
Yeah, you have to come down and visit us. Come to
Mass. Oh yeah, Well, I usually breeze through. I'm sorry, I usually breeze through if I'm stopping at somewhere. But I should make a point of it. I really should.
Yeah, so. You come, we'll even let you serve.
There you go.
Oh, that's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah.
The funny thing was, we all like to ring the bells. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
we'll let you ring the bells.
During the Eucharist, you know?
You got it.
Which is the most important part of the Mass as far as I'm concerned.
Amen.
Yeah.
And,
crazy.
You know,
all right,
I remember my twins. They always were running around at St. Anthony's. But I always made them sit. And for some reason, they must have noticed the look that I give them, and they would stop for them five. You know, the ten minutes it takes for the Eucharist. And one of them remembered it, and I told her. I said, because this, to me, is the most important part of the Mass.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like we got a new bell ringer, Father.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Father, I used to run up and ring that bell at St. Annie's when I was the janitor over there. when it was closed, Father. How about that? People, who was ringing that bell? People think there was a ghost up there, you know? There used to be a long rope coming down. You didn't have to go all the way up.
You know, John, I was up in the bell tower there with Mike McGee because something was wrong with it. And, man, I was scared looking down. We were fixing the bell up.
Oh, I know. I didn't go all the way up, Father. I was just enough up to grab the rope. So I would say it would be on the very bottom of the bell tower. I did not go all the way up. And I've also done that over St. Agatha, St. James, when I was the janitor over there. I was a janitor in a lot of the churches.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, I was a janitor, too.
I can't say nothing bad about that. Every church was good to me. Helped me out with my sister Mary, things like that, you know. And there's a lot of resources in there, you know. But the most important one is the belief in God, you know, and Jesus, you know, and Mary and all. So,
very good.
Listen, I appreciate you for giving me a couple minutes of my time.
I appreciate it, John. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Yeah.
And
John,
I'm blessed. I'm waiting on Rosie Waters' dinner. So
there you go.
Food
before you go,
delivered,
John,
to the house.
I'm glad you brought your mother and father up. I remember them, so they touched my heart, Joe and Mary.
Oh, yeah, and Father Doug, I'm amazed how much that influenced me. And the older I get, the more I realize it.
Yeah.
You know, and
did they go to St. Anthony's, too?
What is it?
Did they attend St. Anthony's grade school?
No. My mother went to St. My father was out of St. Charles. And Bobby and all them. Wham and all.
Yeah.
And my mother was out of St. Patrick's.
Okay, yeah.
Because my father used to live on St. Albans Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had the porcelain sign that they used to put up on the first house of the street. Mm-hmm. Somehow my father got that down, and when he had passed away, I was in the house over, and I found that sign. I still got it. It's down the shore. I looked at it last week, and that was Bobby, Billy, Betsy. You know all that. You know every one of them, Father. You know that.
Yeah.
And all my aunt and uncles were great people. My whole family is great people. You know.
Yeah. You spot it, you got it.
Yeah.
There you go.
well, if that ain't an old one you heard in grade school, that's a good one.
The other one I kept thinking about when you said you're too blessed. I said, too blessed to be stressed by the best.
Yeah,
I
don't.
When you were talking about your children, you know, you try to preach with example, made me think of St. Francis. At all times, preach the gospel. And when
sometimes
necessary,
use
words.
Yeah.
And John, you know, we were talking about, you know, Margaret of Scotland and her Bible. And I'm just thinking about that Bible that you gave me so long ago.
Yeah,
you know? I think it might have been your first bound Bible.
I'm that was sure, the one that the it was one of the first ones right that came off the group when I had to get, my father give me the marching orders. He said, get a job or go in the Army. I don't care which one you do. Just do it by 3 o'clock this afternoon.
There you go.
When you can do them sort of things.
Yeah.
And
how many Bibles
I wound up
did
with a job
bound?
At National Publishing Company. And you know, it was back work. It was nothing. But I was involved in the printing of the Bibles, and what I did was I just put the papers up on the thing, and the women, they collated them into the machine, and they all picked up and wound up at the end of the Bible. And one of the first ones I worked on, I went down and I got to talking to the lady, and she gave me one. You know, she said, hey. I said, do you mind? I said, she said, no, she gave. And that was the one I gave Father Doug.
How about that?
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
White cover.
I appreciate you remembering that. I appreciate
you
remembering
that. Yeah, white cover.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And BIBLE, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, Bible.
Oh.
The Word of God.
So. All right, John, appreciate the call, pal.
Listen, thank you both now. God bless, okay?
All right, you too.
God bless. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
All right. We only got a couple minutes left, Father. I don't think we're going to get to another saint. And speaking of Thanksgiving, just you know, for our listeners, we're not going to have a show next Wednesday. We usually take the Wednesday before Thanksgiving off in case we have to travel or anything. So in case you're not around for the 5 o'clock hour, I do want to wish all of our listeners a happy and a blessed Thanksgiving, and ask you to please remember all the things that we have in life to be thankful for. In particular, this radio ministry, our friends, family, and all the gifts that God bestows on us day in and day out, especially the ones that we don't recognize.
Yeah, and that was Monday, if you remember our prayer. Intention for the Mass was Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And I said, Lord, you've given us so much, and we want to thank you, but give us one more gift, grateful hearts, grateful hearts. Say grateful hearts, Ken, or happy hearts.
Nah, that's right. We say in the rooms all the time, a grateful heart's not going to drink, or a grateful heart's not going to drug. If we concentrate on the things that we are that we should be grateful for, instead of concentrating on the bad things in life, it makes a whole a great difference in our lives. You know, I know quite a few people that get up and every day they write out, whether it's when they get up in the morning or go to bed at night, they'll write out a gratitude list and write out every the things that they're thankful for. And I remember a few years back when you told me about the gratitude rosary, you know, and using those rosary beads to go around and on each bead, you know, say God, I am grateful for. And it wasn't that easy to come up with 50, 60 things, but I can get around that rosary a couple times now, I think.
Yeah, you need the 20 decades now.
Yeah, there you go.
That was your penance. I remember that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Never forgot it. So we just got about a minute left, Father. So get your blessing.
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, we thank you for all your blessings and all your gifts, but especially for the gift of your Son, who tells us who we are, where we're going, where we belong, with you in those verdant pastures, beside restful waters, with all our loved ones. And on the way, keep blessing us, Lord, and give us grateful hearts. And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thank you, Father. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, it'll be What the World Needs Now, and hopefully our guest will call in. Don't
happy
go away.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, all. So just going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back.